Victorious Christian life. Amen? Some people say, well, I don't know how I can live a victorious life. Well, it's in the Bible how to live a victorious life, okay? We come in here and we say that we are saved and we're... Come on. We say that we're saved and we're sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now let me go backwards on you. You can't have no Holy Ghost if you ain't sanctified. And you can't have no sanctification unless you've been reborn. Amen? But see, a lot of people get reborn and they stop there. And you don't go to sanctification. You stop there. You wonder why you can't speak in tongues. You wonder why the Holy Ghost can't speak to you. It's because you haven't fulfilled the requirements. So you got to be saved and then sanctified. And I just don't know if you really know what sanctified is. When you're sanctified, that means you're set apart. You see, when you're saved, you're still in the mix. You're a newbie. The enemy can still get at you because you're not set apart. Some of us need to be sanctified. The devil knows exactly where you are in your walk with Christ. And if you're still crawling, all he has to do is just kick you a little bit and you're going to turn over. He don't have to push you. All he has to do is kick you a little bit. You're a baby in Christ, you're waddling like this, and he just does like that and you fall over. And you want to know what's wrong. It's because you don't have sanctification. It's because you're not sanctified. In theology, we call this sanctification qualash. In Isaiah 6, he says, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah realized that God is so holy that he's not even worthy. But see, we get saved and we think we're so worthy. We believe that we are supposed to get all of these blessings. But God says, put in the work. To be set apart, you got to put in some work. To be set apart, that means that you have to do the work. And then God will do some more work in you. But we want to get saved, and then everything's supposed to, all the windows of heaven is supposed to open up for us. It ain't so. Sanctification is related to the word saint. And both have to do with holiness. And see, this is where we go wrong. Because in order to be sanctified, you have to be holy. Sanctification and holiness are one and the same. We want to be saved, but we don't want to be holy. Kinda, sorta. You ever hear that? Well, I like that kinda, sorta. You really don't know whether you like it or not. But you're kind of, sort of, in everything that you do. The Bible says that God doesn't want nobody kind of, sort of. He don't want nobody lukewarm. Either you in it to win it or stay out of it. But you kind of, sort of. The sanctification is not an everyday word. Because people don't walk around talking, I want to be sanctified. You hear them saying, I want to be saved. But you don't hear them saying, I want to be sanctified. You hear them say, oh, I want to be able to speak in tongues. But they don't want to be sanctified. You're putting the cart before the horse. This is a path that we're taking. It's written the way that we should go. That's why so many people who get saved, they leave because they don't understand that you're still in the process. Now let me tell you something about sanctification. Even Jesus Christ knew that he had to be sanctified. Now let me say this. He says in John 17 and verse 16, he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Therefore, his request was sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You want to be sanctified, you need to get into the word. Because the word is truth. But we don't even want to get into the word. But we want to speak in tongues. We want to say hallelujah. And we want people to believe and respect us for being this Christian that we haven't put the work in for. Amen? Sanctification is a state of separation unto God. And all believers enter into this state when you are born of God. So when you are born again, when you're regenerated, you're at this state waiting for the process of sanctification. But many stay right at this state and don't move forward. Sanctification is so important that Jesus Christ himself was sanctified. Now you're going to say, well, Pastor, how was he sanctified? He's the Son of God. I said sanctification is being set apart. Set apart. For God. So in order for us to be sanctified, Jesus Christ had to be set apart into this world to do the will of his Father so that we could be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. So Jesus Christ, even though he didn't have to, he set himself apart for us. Sanctification, the Bible says, it is because of him that you are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. For that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. That's 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. So it is because of him that you are in Christ. That's Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, our righteousness, holiness or sanctification and redemption. It is a work that God performs, and it is an intricate part of our salvation and our connection with Christ. The scripture in Hebrews 10 and 10 says, and by that will we have been made holy, that's sanctified, through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It is because Christ died on the cross, we have the ability to be sanctified. In the Old Testament, sanctification happened in a building. The temple was sanctified. People wasn't. You could not get saved, you can only sacrifice for forgiveness of your sins. But when Jesus died on the cross, you don't need goats, you don't need lambs. You don't need a building to say, oh, I'm in a holy place. No, that temple can be right here. Amen. That's the difference. If you want to know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you don't have to go to nobody else. You can go straight to the source. We read in Exodus that Mount Sinai was holy. Moses said the people can't come to Mount Sinai because they were going to be blinded. They was going to be killed, a spiritual death, sometimes a physical death. So that was a place that was sanctified, that was holy. The temple was a place. It was sanctified. It was holy. We just don't understand that when Jesus died on that cross, he gave us everything and we don't have to go anywhere. It's right here in us. All we have to do is speak to him. Now there's two aspects of being set apart. The first aspect is to set apart from something. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6, they talked about do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So you think that you could go hang out with your friends still? You'll never get set apart. You can't be with unbelievers and want to have sanctification. Because the scripture starts with don't be yoked unequally with those unbelievers. So when somebody tells you you can still hang out and you believe it, don't think that you're moving forward in your walk with Christ, because you're not. You have to be set apart. You have to be moved away from something. You get saved and you want more, you start getting set apart. Amen? You should be separating yourself from wickedness. You should be separating yourself from the devil. You should be separating yourself from idols. There is no fellowship between Christ and Satan. I've heard people say, oh, I could hang out with them and I could do this and that and it's not going to bother me. So you think. So you think. I can do this, but this ain't going to bother me. I'm better than that. Who are you? The Bible says you cannot be yoked like that with unbelievers. Christ and Satan don't have nothing in common to talk about. But you believe you have something in common to talk about with an unbeliever. You got some place to go with an unbeliever. You got some place to hang out with an unbeliever. The Bible says it is not so. Righteousness, there is no fellowship between righteousness and wickedness. There is no fellowship between the temple of God and idols. Corinthians says, they said, therefore, come out from them and be ye separate, said the Lord. If you're looking for more, the Bible says, come out from them. You got to come out from them. I told you, sanctification requires you to do something. It requires you to set yourself apart so God can start doing the work in you. But we don't want to be set apart. We don't want to leave. We're scared what somebody's going to say about us, what somebody's going to do to us. Is it more important to please man or God? Is it more important to please man or God? Who is the person who gives you everything that you got? Man or God? Man is so flaky and finicky that man will take back what they gave you just because they don't like you. Maybe they don't like your color. Maybe they don't like where you live. Maybe they don't like your husband or your wife or your children. Maybe they don't like your attitude. Maybe they don't like the length of your hair. Maybe they don't like the shoes that you wear. Whatever it is, they'll take it away from you because they don't like you. Are you going to put your faith in man or God? God don't care if you're bald-headed or your hair goes from your head to your shoe. He don't care if you got flat shoes or high heels or platforms and all of that. Sometimes we go to church and people think that because you wear high heels, you ain't Christian. God's not worried about your feet. You can't come in this church wearing jeans. Oh, yes, you can. He ain't worrying about what you got on. He ain't worried whether you can see with one eye or two eyes. We put all of these things on people instead of looking at their heart. People are trying to get set apart. They come in here and they are saved. They do have a relationship with Christ. They're trying to hear a word. They're trying to sing songs of Zion so they can help get set apart. They can't get nowhere because they can't get in the door without you rebuking them. Separation, sanctification, two parts. Let us never forget. What are they? Separation from all that is evil and separation until the exclusive is that word, exclusive. We we get married, we want to have an exclusive relationship with our wife or our husband, don't we? We take vows. Don't we? Come on, am I talking to a church? Understand what I'm talking about. We get in relationships and we want to be exclusive because it means something when we're exclusive, right? We put rings on our finger to show our exclusivity. I got a ring on my finger so you know I'm somebody's. Come on. But when I take this ring off, does it mean I'm not somebody's? God wants us exclusively to be in a relationship with Him. Sanctification. But we don't think that we can be in an exclusive relationship with Him. So we come to church and we put the ring on. And then we go out that door and we take that ring off. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? You understand that, right? Because God knows. Separation from all that is evil and separation unto the exclusive worship and serving of our God, who is our Father, the Lord Almighty. And you know, you hear people say, well, you know, I'm separated. Come to church, I'm separated. Start shouting, I'm separated. You ain't really separated. Because separation is not a show. Separation is that the life that you live and you walk outside, people know that something is different about you, that you're set apart from something, that all that foolishness that goes on, you're not involved in it. All that talk and all that backbiting, all that bitterness, you're not involved in it. So some people say they separated and they're really not. The idea is that you are simply separated, and God has separated you because you say that you're separated. And He says, okay, you be separated, but when your little separated stuff needs something, don't be calling on me because you're not really separated. You're separated from what Christ is telling you to do. You see, because sanctification is not something that we make up or identify for the way that we want it to be. We want to make things the way we want it to be. We even want to come in church and make church be the way we want it to be. Well, but I don't like the way they sing that song, so I think that, you know, they need more anointing. I don't like the way that the preacher preaches, so he needs more anointing. I'm not going to go in there. Let God do the work that He is going to do. You know, it's just like any other relationship that you have. One man's garbage. This ain't for you. There might be a church that satisfies you. But let it be the word of God. Make sure they speak the word of God to you. In Leviticus, it says, the Bible uses this word sanctify in many ways. First, we are told to sanctify ourselves. In Leviticus, it says sanctify yourself. You see, the responsibility is given to us to separate ourselves from all unclean things. So, I got another question. Somebody already know when I got a question. How set apart are you? when you're looking at this garbage on TV. You see, because when the Lord wants you to sanctify yourself and set yourself apart, and you're filling yourself with this immorality, this stupidity, this moronic stuff, how set apart are you? You have the remote in your hand, and you want to turn it, but your finger just keep, because you just need to see this last part. Because you need something to talk about at the water cooler tomorrow. Because you want to be in the lunchroom and everybody's talking about it. And you want to be involved in the conversation. Setting apart is part. It's not something that might happen overnight. It's something that you work on. It's something, you know, I say sanctification is holiness. Some people think that, oh, I'm perfect because I'm sanctified. You'll never be perfect, but we move towards the mark at all times. But you can't take one step forth and two steps back. Because you know what? By the time you get to the step that you took already and you go another two steps back, you further back from where you started from. Changing our television habits is a practical application and a basic meaning of being set apart. Amen? Now, in the New Testament, Peter, 1 Peter 3 and 15 says, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. So it's saying in your heart, you have work to do because you have to sanctify it. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. That means that you have to get holiness in your heart. These words, in your heart, sanctify Christ as Lord. What does that mean? In your heart, set apart, sanctify Christ as Lord. Does it mean to make Christ holy? Peter is talking, he goes back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 32 and 51. And what does it mean? We are told to sanctify ourselves. But when we are sanctifying ourselves, we are putting ourselves in the situation where God can begin the process, and he acknowledges that in our hearts and in our mind that God is holy. We always say light and darkness can't occupy the same space. So if God is not sanctified in here, you can still have darkness in here. Amen? That's why it says start sanctifying God in your heart. Because when God is in your heart, all of that foolishness, you don't want no part of it. All of the things that everybody want to do that are negative, you'll have no part of it. But all the devil needs is a little bit. All he needs to see is a little dirt. All he needs to see a little dark lighting. And he's going to use that. Not light light, but dark light in you. And he'll use that. You ever went to some water that looks very peaceful, and you took a step and you was getting ready to go in and you didn't know how deep it was? That's what the enemy does. You go there, you think you're just going to test the water. And then you step, you don't even know how deep it is. Matter of fact, you don't even know how you're going to get out of there. You going in there thinking you could swim, and you better not be able to, and swimming ain't got nothing to do with it, right? You got to learn how to float. Right? The word of God, you float while the devil's attacking you. But if you don't got the word of God, you're going to sink. You're going to drown. You're just going to go under. Sanctification We know that God is not a man. Some of us treat God like he's our buddy. You know how you treat your buddy. You treat him right, treat him nice sometimes, and sometimes you do him dirty. Come on now, we all have friends who did us dirty. And they're your friends, and you still keep them because they're your friend. They really didn't mean it, right? God is not your buddy. You can't go to God. See, if he was your buddy, you could go to him. You can't go to him. You can get to him through his son, Jesus Christ. Because God's too holy. You can't get to him. But you reach him through his son, Jesus Christ. These are the words that Jesus wrote. Your buddy, Jesus, who came down here as man. See, he could be your buddy. We sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. These songs means, come on, you thought it didn't mean nothing, but it says, what a friend we have in Jesus. It don't say, God is your friend, but he is your friend, but only because of Jesus. Amen. My kids, buddies, they have no business being my friend. You understand what I'm saying? So think about your kids and their buddies, all right? They can't be your buddies, but they can get to you through your child, your son, your daughter. We can get to God because of his son. God is looking for people to want to do more. God is looking for people to who want to be sanctified. The Bible says, sanctify them by the truth. What is the truth? This is the truth. Your word is the truth. I want you to know this morning that God plays a very important part in our sanctification and making us holy. God the Father is interested in our holiness. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is interested in our holiness. Because we read in Ephesians 5, 23 to 27, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. But for what purpose? So that you, the church that is in wickedness, could be the same person and pretend that you're a Christian? No, Christ died to make us holy. He died to bring about a moral renovation. Everybody knows what a renovation is. Christ died to bring about a moral and spiritual renovation. So when you renovate your house, you look around and you see what has to be done. You make a list of everything so when the contractors come in, you tell them exactly what you want done. You look and you say, well, you know, I want that paint and I don't like that color over there. You turn around and say, I need a new floor over here. And you write it all down. Well, there is a spiritual renovation. It has to happen. And until you get to the point that you start setting yourself apart, you don't know the renovations that have to be done. That's why it's not a one-step process. It's not one step, it's a process. Ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. We have to renovate ourselves spiritually. That's what sanctification is. There is a moral transformation. There is a moral confrontation. So not only are you going to get transformed, but in the process of getting transformed, there's going to be some confrontation. You think it's going to be easy? the enemy's just going to let you go ahead and do it. That's not going to happen. There's going to be confrontation. Even with the TV, you're going to want to look at, change that channel, and somebody's going to say, what are you changing it for? It don't just happen at your job. It happens right in your home. You tell your kids, turn that music down. They're going to say, what for? I don't want to hear that. Well, you've been listening to it all this time. In the transformation, there's going to be confrontation. If you don't want to get transformed and you don't want confrontation, then don't try to get transformed. But know that you know that you know that it's going to happen. That's why you need to be prepared, prepared, prepared. Because the enemy's going to hit you with everything. Everything under the sun. Everything and everybody. Everywhere you go, everywhere you turn. You're not going to be expecting it, and it's going to be right there. So I said that God the Father wants you to be sanctified. Somebody say amen. I said that God the Son, Jesus Christ, wants you to be sanctified. Amen. I want you to know that the God, the Holy Spirit, is interested in our holiness. Amen? What is his name? Holy Spirit. In Galatians, Paul said, so I say, live by the Spirit and you'll be holy. So you can't get holy until you start to live by the Spirit. And you're not going to get that Spirit until you get sanctification. We talk about the Holy Spirit being a comforter to us, speaking to us, being there in each and every situation. He is very picky about where he's going. You ever see somebody picky? They don't want to be around this person, or they can't touch this, they can't eat this. On their plate, the meat's got to be over here, the rice is over here, the beans is over here. They can't use the same spoon to eat. That's picky. The Holy Spirit is picky. If you don't have sanctification, he ain't coming. He ain't coming nowhere near you. So if you don't have sanctification, don't be praying for the Holy Spirit to do this and that to you. Come on and anoint me. No. Get holy. Sanctify yourself. I'm not coming in an unclean place. I don't do that. I'm very picky. I've already given you the script of where I can come. Where I will reside. Because the Holy Spirit is sent from heaven with a specific purpose. The Holy Spirit is not for GP, not for general purposes. But that's what we want. That's what I mean when we try to make the Bible and structure and how God wants things done the way we want it to be. If everybody in here had their own way, we all be shouting and speaking in tongues, and he ain't the author of confusion. And he ain't the author of mess. That's why you have to sanctify yourself. When he comes and he speaks, he makes it plain. He makes it plain. And he don't always have something to say to everybody. Sometimes he just want to say something to you. And when he's talking to you, you might be uttering something, but that person over there, if they don't have the gift of interpretation, they can't be interpreting it. So what is the goal of this sanctifying process? Let me say this. If you are born of God, if God has planted you in divine life, which is called regeneration, which you are born again. I guarantee you, the scripture guarantees you that if you are born again, God wants you to grow. You're a baby, he wants you to grow. He wants you to get off of milk, he wants you to grow. He wants you to be able to do his will and his way because he has a plan for you. But if you stay on milk, he can't use you. I don't know nobody that has a baby that don't want their baby to grow. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you don't want to grow, how can you really be born again? I told you I was going to go backwards, didn't I? If you don't want to grow, how can you say that you are born again? To be born again is to grow. Nobody stays a baby as a baby. If they do, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something is wrong with that boy. Something's wrong with that girl. Something is wrong. Some of us, we don't believe the Bible, but the Bible says this. If you have no interest in separating yourself from wickedness and you don't love God, but you are... and call yourself a Christian, when you die and you go to meet your maker, this is what you're going to say, Lord, Lord. But the Lord is going to say to you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Amen? So everybody dancing around and singing and shouting. Some of them are workers of iniquity. And God is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. Because he knows the things that you're doing right here, right now. He knows it. He wants you to grow. He wants to give you more. He wants to get you off of that milk. But we're the same place that we were 15 years ago. 20 years ago. And you say, you see, the mothers in the church years ago, they would look at you. And they would say, how's your salvation? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you still... They wouldn't embarrass you. They take you to the side and they speak to you, you know, and they would encourage you because they knew that there was more. I see so many people today that just get to the first step. I see so many pastors and ministers of the gospel just encouraging you to have that relationship. Oh, just come and have that relationship. If you say this and you come and you believe that you have a relationship, you have been saved. There's more. God wants more. He wants more. It ain't just for later, but it's for here. It's for here. Right now, you're building up your bank account for when you get there. Some gonna get some pennies. Some going to be rewarded with millions. Some's going to have a little shed. Some going to have some part of that mansion over there. There's work to do. In order to do the work, you have to do more. So God can use you more. Sanctification is part of the process. Let us stand.